myself, and there was a young lady in the line in front of me, and she looked at me. She said, "Oh, you're the guy who sang last night." I looked and I said, "Oh yeah, I'm that guy." I thought I was getting, you know, I was making some strides here, and I said, "Yeah, I'm that guy." And she said, she looked at me and she said, "That stunk." I shouldn't have done it, but I looked back at her, and my grandfather Rainey came out in me and said, I looked back at her and I said, "So?" And I smiled and I said, "I was the one up there singing that." No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But sometimes we just gotta tell the devil, "So? You're good for nothing. So? You're always going to be a sinner. So?" Don't we remember what it says in the Word of God? That the devil can't tell the truth? He's a liar and deceiver. Your family's never going to be back together. So? Your life is never going to come back together. I'm sick and tired of the devil telling us the what for. We need to look back at him and say, "The redeemed of the Lord is going to start to say so in my life, and I'm going to rise up in this place." Say so, say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so, say so. Now, whatever the devil's been throwing your way here this week, I want you to look back at him and say, "The redeemed of the Lord is going to rise up in my heart right now in the name of Jesus." All right? Are you ready? Let's sing it together. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up.
Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up.
Come on, let it rise
let
up in you.
Let the redeemed of the Lord
rise up.
Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Rise up, rise up.
Come on, sing it again. Say,
let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Let the redeemed of the Lord rise up. Rise up, rise up.
Now let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this room here this evening. I feel the victory of the Holy Ghost in the house tonight. I feel the victory of the Holy Ghost in the house tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I might be down right now, but I'm not down for the count. I'm just getting ready to get back up again. You might fall seven times, and that's a good man. I'm not a good man. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, but I'm saved and sanctified because of Jesus Christ came into my life. I'm just getting back up again. Amen. God bless you. If you have your Bibles, thank you, praise team. Wonderful job here this evening. Amen. What a great job they did. Amen. Wow. I feel victory in the house here. Amen. I feel victory in this room. Amen. Please remember the Hollinger family in your prayers. We love Brother Steve with all our hearts. And again, we have a memorial up here for him. And I like this right here. I don't like his team choice, but that's okay. He's got his drumsticks up here, and it says Cowboys. Cowboys. These are the drumsticks that he played here. You say, "Well, that's sacrilegious." I know if it said Bears, it would have been all right. But no, Brother Steve, we're all the Cowboys fan tonight. And even a White Sox fan. Because he was a White, you know, there's only two White Sox fans in this church. And that's Steve and Rob. I'm just giving Rob a hard time. But we love Brother Steve. And he's laughing with us right now. And he was a great, great man. Keep Missy and his kids in your prayers. We'll be posting his service times on Facebook this next week, or you can call the office. We'll probably know more on Monday or Tuesday of this next week.
And so if you don't have access to Facebook, just please call the office here and we'll be able to get you that information. We are mourning with those that mourn, but we're also rejoicing because, as I said this morning, Brother Steve has made it to the other side, that place called heaven, the place I hope every one of you in here is striving for. We're striving for that place. We're going to go to two different sets of scriptures, Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. We're also going to go to Luke, the 11th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, and Luke, the 11th chapter, as you are turning there. So glad to have a good friend here tonight, Rodney. So glad my friend Rodney's with us. Can we give Rodney a hand? Rodney Frazier, this is for the Chad's nephew, Sister Tanya's nephew. He is a great guy. He's helped me out many times, and so I'm so thankful for Rodney. Amen. God bless him. So good to see all of our other guests in the house. Welcome. We are so glad that you are here tonight. I hope I get to know your name after this service as well. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now, if you'll turn to Luke, the 11th chapter. Luke, the 11th chapter. We're going to start in verse number 5. Luke 11 and 5 through 8. And he said unto them, which of you, Jesus is speaking here, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs, or as he needeth, if we're speaking in the old King James Version. Because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. For the next few moments here tonight, I want to speak on this subject. A friend at midnight. A friend at midnight. Look to your neighbor and say, a friend at midnight. Oh Lord, we come before you again this evening, and I thank you, Lord, for the praise and worship. I thank you for the spirit of victory that we feel in the house. I thank you for your Holy Ghost as it is ministering already to the hearts of the men and women who have came and those that are even watching online. I pray now, Lord, that you would open up our ears. I pray that, God, I would preach with passion tonight. God, help me to help somebody in this place. It's through you, not through me. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I know you all have been standing a while here tonight. Thank you all. A few winters ago, heavy snows had hit North Carolina. I read a story this past week about. Following a wet 6-inch snowfall, one man observed as he traveled a highway in North Carolina, several large groves of tall pine trees. The branches of those pine trees, they bowed down with the heavy snow, so low that branches from one tree were often leaning against the trunk or branches of another tree that was standing next to it. Where trees stood alone in that field, however, the effect of trees that stood alone, that effect of the heavy snow, caused a much different scene. The branches had become heavier and heavier on those single trees. And since there were no other trees to lean against, the heavy snow snapped the branches. Those branches lay on the ground, dark and alone in the cold snow. When the storms of snow hit that day, it was the trees that stood close together that survived the storm. It was the trees that leaned on each other that were able to that next summer spread their branches once more and be fully healed and recovered. The storms of our lives hit often unaware. And there, as those storms hit, we as Christians need to stand close to other Christians. That is why it's so important that you have a church and that you come to that church and you are a member of that church. Because can I tell you this evening that the closer we stand together, the more we will be able to hold up during the storms of life. Standing close to other Christians, yes, let me be clear tonight, can be a danger. Anytime you stand close to someone and you open up your heart, you are putting something on the line. Because when you open up your heart, you are standing in danger of your heart being hurt. And when you have friends that pass away, like we've experienced this week, we all hurt because it feels like a piece of us went with them. When the closest friend that you have in the church or even outside of the church moves to another state, you hurt because a part of you goes with them. When someone you have invested hours and hours of time with a Bible study and teaching them the ways of God turn their back on the truth and the whole gospel message, it more than just stings, it hurts and it tears your heart to pieces. And always a piece of your heart will be gone because of the hurt that you have experienced. Sometimes the tendency is to not allow yourself to be vulnerable anymore, to allow your heart to be hurt. And isolation sets in and we become content with a small group or a small portion that we are friends with. Because we don't want to have hurt in our lives. That's human nature. It's all of us. We don't want to have hurt. And so isolation sets in and we become content with a small group. And we become content with allowing ourselves to be by ourselves and all alone. And when we isolate ourselves, let me tell you tonight, you only hurt yourself. You only hurt yourself. When we isolate, we only hurt ourselves. And we are the ones that start to break down when the snowstorm of life comes in. Yes, we feel like we're protecting ourselves and we're keeping ourselves vulnerable away from breaking our heart and tearing our heart out piece by piece. But when a storm comes to your life and when a snowstorm starts to fall in your world, I guarantee you will break more than you've ever broke before, and you will hurt more than you've ever hurt before. Alone and left behind has been all too common a theme in the world over the last year and a half. Alone means to be deserted and helpless, and it's an expressed sense of desolation. Left behind means abandoned and left out there on your own. And there are times in our lives, yes, where we feel lonely. And it's sometimes, as I've been talking about at the beginning of this message, by our own doing. And yes, sometimes it's by the doing of others. But sometimes, yes, we want to be just kept left alone. And we want to be in seclusion somewhere by ourselves. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we were not made to always be in seclusion and be locked up inside of our homes. We were made to fellowship with others and to create friendships that last a lifetime and to help those that we meet along life's path. Humanity will never survive if we are isolated. Humanity will never survive if we just keep to ourselves. We were created to be fellowship with one another. We were created to be beings, to go with like-minded men and women. From early on, God decided that it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him, he said in Genesis, the second chapter. In the Message version of Genesis 2 and 18 says, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper. I'll make him a companion. See, Adam had all the animals in the world. He had all the beautiful plants and flowers, but he was missing something. He was missing a friend. He was missing a companion, someone that looked like him, someone who could communicate with him, someone to be able to experience the joys of the garden together. I know Proverbs 18 and 22 is correct, and married men, you better get ready to say amen real loud, because it says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Thank you. I gave you some brownie points right there. See, I have found a good thing, and I have found favor because of her. The favor of the Lord is upon me because of this good thing called Heather Marie Maynard. The reason why I am pastor and youth president is because I married her right there. Whoever she married would have been standing here tonight. I believe I have found favor because of my good thing. We all need companions. Yes, having a spouse is a good thing. But even if you don't have a spouse, you still need companions. Someone to talk to, someone to love, someone to bless, someone to help during their valley experiences, someone to help you during your valley experiences, but also someone to celebrate with you the blessings of life and the mountaintops, the faithfulness and the goodness of God, a friend to shout with you at church, a friend to dance with you in the aisles at church, a friend whose shoulder you can cry on, a friend who can laugh with you and celebrate. We all need friends. You need friends. We need a church that is full of friendship and is full of love. There is no room for hate in this church. I don't care if you don't like a person's style or an attitude, or if you even like their look. There is no room at Firstborn for hate, only love. We need a church full of friends. Friends. Don't get me wrong, you are not going to be best friends with everyone. You are not going to relate well with maybe many. But let me tell you tonight, if you came in the other door because you saw someone else going in this door and you said, I'm not going in that door with that person, you're wrong. You need to get to an altar and repent. There is no room for hate in this church. Senior pastor said it this morning, I'll say it again. There is no room for hate of any color. There is no room for any hate of a male or a female. There is even no room for hate for someone who's a transgender. Someone who's a homosexual or a lesbian. They need to be a friend just like Jesus Christ would be their friend. We need to step close to them and say, God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he'll bring you out of anything that is going on in your life. You know what I have hated, and I know hate is a strong word, but I use that tonight. You know what I've hated during COVID? Is not being able to give brotherly love to someone, hugging someone, shaking their hand, putting a hand on their shoulder, praying with them side by side at the altar. I remember a few months ago, there was someone in this congregation who came up, and we kind of did a fist bump, and this person came up and gave me a big hug and said, hey, I think you need this hug. And I said, thank you to the person that did that. I said, yes, I did. We have missed that in our church because we need each other. We need the love of a family. We need the compassion of a family. Why? Because two are better than one. Because they have a good return, the Bible says, for their labor. Because when one of them falls down, the other one can help them up. But pity anyone. Now, is it just me, or whenever you hear the word pity, you think of Mr. T? I'm sorry. I pity the fool. I know we're not supposed to say fool. I'm sorry, Lord. Anyways, let me get back to what I'm talking about here. But it says, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Although we need, as I've said, to develop alone times with God, it is so important that we continue to build strong connections with people in the church. I know it's kind of fallen to the wayside for the past year and a half, but I'm here to try to reconnect us once again. I'm here to try to reconnect us with compassion and love once again. And so I'm going to come up and hug your neck. I'm going to come up and shake your hand and put a hand on your shoulder. If you don't want that, just let me know and I won't be offended. But we need to have love and compassion. What the world needs to see is a church of friends. World is full of lonely people. There are songs written about the lonely people. Please don't get mad at me tonight. I only use this as an illustration. But the world has written songs like this. I look at all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? That was the cry of Paul McCartney and the Beatles. The song tells the story of Eleanor Rigby. Really tells the story of two lonely people. First, we meet a church-going woman named Eleanor Rigby, who is seen cleaning up rice after a wedding. The second verse introduces the pastor, Father McKenzie, whose sermons no one will hear. This could indicate that nobody is coming to his church, or that his sermons aren't getting through to the congregation on a spiritual level. In the third verse, Eleanor dies in the church, and Father McKenzie buries her. Rigby dies lonely and unmourned. Father McKenzie delivers the sermon at her funeral, the only person there. And the father throws the dirt onto her grave. In a graveyard in Liverpool lies a headstone bearing the name Eleanor Rigby. It was at a church, at that church in 1957, that John Lennon and Paul McCartney first met. Just yards away lay the real grave, the real person named Eleanor Rigby, who died at age 44 in 1939. Little did she know that her name would appear in one of the most famous pop songs ever created. A preacher who stood as the only one at a grave, probably for a friend. A preacher who was a friend at midnight for Eleanor. Midnight comes to each of us. And when the figurative midnight of our life comes, we need a friend that will step up and step close at midnight. In Luke, the 11th chapter, Jesus is praying in a certain place, the scripture says, the first verse. It says, when Jesus was done praying, it says in the second verse that his disciples saw how Jesus prayed, and they wanted to pray like him. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I want to pray like you pray. I want to pray like I heard you. This is where we read what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, also found in Matthew 6. This is just a shorter version of what we find in Matthew, the 6th chapter. After the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as it's commonly known, Jesus continues to teach them. He continues to explain and teach them how to pray. In the Message version of what we read at the beginning of this message here tonight, it says this, in verse 5, then he said, imagine what would happen. Imagine with me now. What would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, an old friend traveling through just showed up and I don't have a thing on hand. The friend answers from his bed, "Don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are down for the night. I can't get up to give you anything. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need." Could you see the settings of a small town where all the shops were closed? There was no 24-hour Walmart. The daily bread in this man's house had been cooked and eaten. And then, close to midnight, he had an unexpected visitor. And now this friend finds himself in a dilemma. He must feed his friend that showed up at his door, because hospitality was a sacred duty in that day. It was what they had to do. So the friend says, I'll be right back, to the friend that showed up at his door. And he goes to his next door neighbor, another friend, at midnight. And he starts knocking on the door. And he says, I just need 3 loaves of bread. Not very many. Can you help me out? I got a friend that came over. It was unexpected, but he's very hungry. He needs this bread. He needs this nourishment. The sun is beating down on him all day, and he's almost famished. Will you help me? But the problem that evening was this friend had gone to bed. I don't know about you, but I like my sleep, and I don't usually like to get woke up whenever I'm sleeping either. He had shut his door. His children were in bed. And if you wake up those kids, you got another thing coming. And I'm sure Mama wouldn't be very happy either. It was likely the family was sleeping probably on one mat. That was very common in that day. Houses in Israel, especially in rural areas, were very small, consisting of one room only. You can imagine a small dark room with a raised area in the back where the family lived. And in the front lower part of the house, you would have all the domestic animals. I'm not talking about dogs and cats. I'm talking about chickens and goats, rabbits, all sharing the same house together. There was one door which was left open through the day. And in the evening, history says the family would close it and slide a wooden or an iron bar through rings in the door panel. And so it is easy to see that removing this bar in the middle of the night would be quite noisy. That is why the man inside of the house said, "The door is now shut. My kids are sleeping." He would wake up those kids because they were so close together. And especially when that went through the chain, or that iron bar went through those rings, it would wake them up. See, the bother wasn't in giving the bread. It was in getting up. It was much easier to stay where he was at instead of having the inconvenience of disturbing not just himself, but his entire family was going to be disturbed. My Lord, I hope I never get so comfortable in my own house. I hope I never get so comfortable in my own situation that when a friend comes knocking at midnight, I can't open the door and help them. Even though I have what they need, I can't be inconvenienced by their situation. I can't be inconvenienced by their problem. It's not only going to inconvenience me, but my family, my children, my wife. God, if I have to be inconvenienced to be a friend at midnight that I need to be, if I have to change around my preconceived ideas and plans, let them go out the window, because all I want to be is a friend at midnight. Remember how Jesus opened the story, "Which of you," he said, looking at them, and I could see even Jesus pointed at them and said, "Which of you has a friend? Which of you has a friend He was doing the same thing that I did with you tonight. Can you imagine your friend? Do you have a friend who would refuse help at midnight? In every culture, the bonds of friendship involve a readiness to help one's friends. And true friends come through for us despite inconvenience to themselves. Also in Jesus' culture, the responsibility of showing hospitality was seen, as I've said, of extreme importance. And put that into context. And the problems of getting up and unlocking the door and thus disturbing the children's sleep would seem pretty insignificant. The answer to the question was, can you imagine a friend who would behave like that? It was a negative. No, of course not. No imaginable friend would refuse to assist you in your request for friends or for bread. And so the man who stood at the door needing bread from a friend at midnight, he kept on knocking. He would not give up and he would not leave. He would not let his friend at midnight be in a desperate situation and send him out on the street without what he needed. He would not let his friend of his the neighbor friend go back to sleep because there was a problem at his home. He needed bread for a friend at midnight, and he needed a friend to step up at midnight to supply that need. And then Jesus turns it around and says, instead of which of you, he says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. In other translations, we have it this way. He said, even if out of a friendship's sake, he will not give him the bread, yet he said, because of that, because of the persistence, yet because of the person who was unashamedly standing and knocking, he said, because of the person saying, I'll wake up the whole neighborhood for my friend to get what he needs. He said, because of those reasons, man opened the door. Importunity means a boldness or a shamelessness, someone who will just keep on it, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. The Lord Jesus is illustrating that this man who had a shameless persistence, a persistence that does not take no for an answer, a persistence that said, I'm going to keep on asking until you give it to me. I'm going to keep on seeking until I find it. I'm going to keep on knocking until it's open to me. He said, because of those reasons, the man opened the door, and because of those reasons, the man that went back with those three loaves became a friend at midnight for a man who desperately needed something in his life. I'm telling you, how long is too long to be in prayer for a friend? How long is too long to be in intercession for a lost loved one? How long is too long to cry out before God and say, God, you got to change them. God, you got to change her. I can't do it on my own. How many here is knocking on the heart of God and saying, God, go and knock on my brother's door. God, go and knock on my sister's door. Luke 11 is not saying that God is unwilling or he must be pressed for an answer because both friends were eager to give. This is all about being persistent. And if we want something bad enough, we will keep asking for it. If we want something bad enough in our life, we will be persistent for it. If we want something bad enough, we'll do whatever it takes to get it. Let me tell you, if you want God bad enough, you'll set down whatever it is that is putting an enmity between you and God, is putting a separation between you and God, and you'll say, I'll give up anything. I'll give up anything for you, God, because God, I can't do it without you. takes nerve and audacity to behave like that. You will see the man, he wouldn't stop. He was shameless, as the Bible said. He went to great lengths and even suffered rebuke in order to get the bed. But he was willing to keep, as I've said, the whole neighborhood up. And where friendship cannot prevail, his shamelessness, his willingness to keep on, won the day. His troublesome urgency, his excessive persistence, the shameless way he kept seeking and knocking and asking, it won out. Maybe while Jesus was telling this story, he remembers the story of his birth, of how at the last motel, at the last resort, Joseph wouldn't take no for an answer. He looked at the innkeeper and he said, "You gotta have a place for my Mary to have this baby." And it was because of persistence from an earthly father named Joseph that he was able to be born in a stable, and he was able to have a place to lay his head that night. And there Jesus was telling his disciples, it's more than just being a friend at midnight, because you, if you're going to be a friend at midnight, you have to be persistent and not just leave it to one time and that's enough. But if your friend desperately needs something in their life, you will keep on and on and on until they receive it. A friend at midnight, as David comes. This is, again, it's about being persistent, being constant in prayers and confident in those prayers. Jesus is saying, if you can get bread from an unwilling giver, how much more will you receive from a willing giver, who is Jesus Christ, the one who willingly gave of his life? It wasn't about just saying, "Jesus, please, 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 please." No, he was saying, if this guy could get it from this neighbor who didn't want to give it, I'm the ultimate giver. He went on in the scripture, he said, all you got to do is knock, and it'll be open. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Put up on my Facebook this afternoon that Jesus willingly chose isolation so you might never be alone in your hurt and sorrow in this life. Jesus willingly went to the cross alone and felt isolation so that we might not ever be alone. Father in heaven transcends time and space. And unlike the midnight friend, it's never too early or too late to make a request. We are not too much of a burden. Our heavenly Father is all powerful, omnipotent. So our request poses no problem for him. He is an ultimate supply of grace and mercy. His ways are above our ways. He will never send you away, nor is he ever too tired to help. He is the greatest friend at midnight. He's the greatest friend at midnight. If this man who didn't want to get up and get the bread would do it because of persistence, how much more does our Heavenly Father look down and say, "I will. I will." I look at all the lonely people who need a friend at midnight. I look in the faces of men and women in this room who need a friend at midnight. People in this world that are lonely, they're hurting. Some believe they can never come back to church. They won't be accepted. They'll be looked down upon. They don't have the right clothes to wear. They don't smell the greatest. They might not even have anything else than the clothes on their back. They're desperate for something to change. But can they really be who God wants them to be? Can the change come that they desperately need? Is Jesus really that friend at midnight? The greatest friend, the friend that sticketh closer than any brother? Is he still the friend that is looking for the ones? Is he still the friend, the shepherd that is looking for that lost sheep? The shepherd that will leave the 99 and go for the one because it's his friend. Is he still like the lady looking and searching diligently for the lost coin? Is he still like the prodigal's daddy? Is he still standing out on that dusty road every evening looking out to see if his son, his friend, is coming back home? Can I tell you tonight, the Father in heaven is looking for the ones, the lost ones. As I end this message here tonight, God started dealing with me, and this message has evolved a little bit over the last month, but God has been dealing with me with a message I preached at the beginning of this year about it being a poor year. The Holy Ghost told me in 2021, it was going to be a poor year where we were going to storm the enemy camp and take back what it stole. We have a group of wonderful men and women here at Firstborn Ministries and our daughter works that have been through a difficult season, and we've been beat up. Some of you have been beat down. But God told me at the start of this year, if we would just start marching, if we will start to pursue, that we will see victory after victory, that we will overtake. And we will recover all. The Lord started dealing with me about this message about a month ago. And I had told Senior Pastor about it. And I asked God, how are we going to see this harvest? How are we going to see a revival? God said, you will see it on every level. New people that will just show up at your doorstep. That's been happening for the past few weeks here. People that just show up. We had it this morning. People that will watch on your live stream and receive salvation. But God told me this. He said, the greatest number that you will see is a revival of the ones. The one lost sheep. I said, God, who are the ones? He said, same people that I spoke about in Matthew 18 and Luke 15. My friends, the shepherd that left it all and risked leaving the 99 to find the one. There's a friend that used to sit in these seats that needs you because it's midnight in their life tonight. There's a backslider that needs you. They're going to come knocking at your door at midnight. It's going to be the most inconvenient time. But what kind of friend you are, what kind of friend you are at that moment is going to be the difference not only in their life, but in their friend's life and in their family's life. Someone is needing a friend at midnight. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to end this service a little bit different here tonight. There's midnight in many one's life, O-N-E-S, one's life. The one that's left. I forgot it here tonight, but I had Sister McKay print me out a list of all the names of people that have come to this church and have left. I hate to say it, but it's over 300 names. Backsliders. I have the names, and every day I take a page and I pray over that person and I pray over that family because they're the ones. I believe God is going to give us a renewing and a revival of the ones in this church. I'm not praying over them as just a daily exercise, but I'm praying over them and believing that every time I mention their name, that the Holy Ghost goes to them directly at their job, and with their sleeping, at their home, at their computer. And whenever I call their name, not because it's Anthony Maynard calling their name, but when I call their name, the power of the Holy Ghost comes all over them once again in their life. I'm telling you, God is getting ready and He is already here. There's a revival of backsliders. Telling you, I'm not just saying this. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. God is bringing back home men and women that you haven't seen in years. But even tonight, there are some that are watching this live, and you just happen to come and look at what your old home church was doing at Firstborn. Let me tell you, sir, ma'am, this is still your home church. And God is reaching out to you. God is reaching out. You better get back to this altar. You better get back to this place. You never know when the appointment of death is going to come on your life. Get back to God. I don't want to see you die and go to hell. There's a place called heaven that is open. It's got an open sign. It's got an open sign. And there's a friend at midnight. There's a friend at midnight. There's a friend at midnight. There was a friend at midnight for the children of Israel when the death angel came by. There's a friend called the blood. When the death angel came by to kill all the firstborn, there was a sign on the doorpost and on the sides. If there was blood applied to it and they were inside the house, they had a friend at midnight. It was the blood. Paul and Silas, they had a friend at midnight. It was called praise and worship. And when they begin to praise and worship at midnight, that friend called praise and worship started to break the binds and the chains that had them bound. But it wasn't only them, but all the prisoners that was around them, because there was a friend at midnight. There's a friend at midnight for the 10 wise virgins. They kept their oil in their lamp and their wicks trimmed. And when the bridegroom called at midnight, there was 10 that didn't make it. But there was 10 that had a friend. They had a bridegroom. They had a friend at their midnight. Rodney, you got a friend in your midnight. Brother Joe, you got a friend in your midnight. Brother Cobb, you got a friend in your midnight. But it becomes you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. I really felt this afternoon. I'm asking, pleading everyone that will, that you would come to this altar. God is going to lay someone's name on your heart. God is going to lay someone's name on your heart. And you're going to come up to this altar and you're going to grab one of these cards. I felt this so strongly this afternoon whenever I was picking up these cards at the dollar store. Even through the checkout, I begin to pray in the name that is above every other name. Devil, you are a liar. You are a liar. You, God, are going to use these cards. I want you to come and grab a card. And I want you to write in that card an invitation to Friday night and Sunday morning this week. I want you to write right now an invitation to Friday night and to Sunday morning. All that will, we have about 60 cards up here. All that will, write an invitation in your own words. You know what a handwritten note does for somebody? Man, it brightens my day when I get a handwritten note in the mail. I want you to write this note to someone who once was here, but they have gone away from this place. And if you know their address, I want you to put their name and their address on the front. Heather has stamps right here. We're going to put a stamp on it, and we're putting it in the mail tonight. And they're going to get that card by Wednesday or at the latest Thursday. And I believe we're going to see a revival of backsliders this weekend like we have never seen before in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's one more card up here if anybody wants to grab it. Anyone wants to grab it. And when you begin to write out that card, I want you just to, in your own words, in the power of the Holy Ghost, I want the Holy Ghost to move through you and work through you right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray over you right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person that is in this room as they begin to write these cards out to those ones, the ones that have left, God, this assembly, Lord, the ones that you are calling out to and crying out to, the ones that you are pulling on their heartstrings even tonight, Lord, as they begin to write out these cards. I pray that the Holy Ghost would use this symbol, God, that we're going to send in the mail, and God, that you would persuade, God, men and women, that they need to come back to a church. Help them to know they have a friend at Firstborn Ministries. Help them to know they have a friend at a church that loves them and cares for them. Use these cards in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Come on, that's it. Now write out those cards all over this place. And as you write it out, I want you to be in prayer. You say, well, what if somebody gets 7 cards this week? Let them get 7 cards this week. If you have the address, when you get that done, I want you to come up front, lay it on the altar, we'll put a stamp on it, and I'll put it in the mail tonight. If you don't have an address, we'll try to figure it out. We'll try to figure it out. All right, go ahead. I know this is a little different. This is a little different ending here tonight. Someone, this card is going to come in the mail just at the right time. You're going to be their friend at midnight. It's going to come right at just the right time. Amen. We'll try to. If you don't know the address, we'll try to get with Sister McKay so we can. We do have some addresses that we can do. Get that for you. Yes. Friday night, 7:30. Friday night, 7:30. Sunday morning, 9:30. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. They say this mountain can't be moved. Yes. They say these chains will never break.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name.
We heard
that there is no way through.
We heard the tide
will never change. They haven't seen what you can do.
There is power
in your name.
Oh,
there is power in your name.
Yes, Lord. move the unmovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe.
God, we believe.
We believe. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe
for it.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We know that hope is never lost.
Oh, yeah.
For there is still an empty grave.
Yes, Lord.
God, we believe no matter what. There is power in your name.
We'll sing it now.
There is power in your name. Yeah. Move the unmovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe.
God, we believe.
Whoa, we believe.
God, we believe for it.
From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe for it.
You are the way. You are the way when there seems to be no. We trust in you. We trust in you. God, you have the final. You are the way. You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you.
We trust in you. God, you have the final say.
You are the way. You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you.
We trust in you. God, you have the final say.
You are the way.
You are the way.
When there seems to be no way.
We trust in you.
We trust in you. God, you have the final say.
Yes, yes, yes.
Move the unmovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe.
Oh, God, we believe.
God, we believe for it.
From the impossible,
we'll see a miracle.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe for it.
Move the unmovable. Break the unbreakable.
God,
we
believe.
God,
we believe for it.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe
for it.
We believe in it is done. Now can we sing? You said, I believe. Can we sing this tonight? Say, you said. It is done.
You said.
You said.
I believe.
I believe.
You said. It is done.
You said.
You said. I believe.
You said.
You said. It is done.
You said,
you said, I believe. You said, it is done.
Move
the immovable, break the unbreakable.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe.
God, we believe for it.
we believe. God,
sing it one more time.
Oh, move the unmovable, break the unbreakable.
God, we believe.
God, we believe. God, we believe for it.
From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe.
God, we believe for it.
How many believe that as these letters go to their destination, that God is going to use what we have written, and God is going to move upon the hearts of those people, and He's going to move them to action, and He's going to break the unbreakable? Because of a friend at midnight. A friend at midnight. Can we all stand here as we end this service? I want to tell you once again, if you're sitting or standing in here today, that Jesus Christ loves you so very much. And no matter the problem that you're going through, He's a friend at midnight. He'll be a greater friend than I could ever be. He's not a friend that you gotta have, keep knocking and knocking and knocking. He's a friend that freely gives the bread of life. If today, at the end of this service, you have come in here struggling, I just want to remind you once again that we have a friend in Jesus. He was Abraham's friend, and He is our friend. He is your friend. Lord, we come before You for the last time on this Sunday evening in this service. I thank You for the Holy Ghost that we feel even now in this room. Lord, I've done my best to speak passionately, fervently for You, Lord. I pray for those that have needs here tonight, that no one else can meet that need except for You, Jesus. And they've come to this place, the right place. You have met them even right now in the middle of that need as a friend. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen those that are here tonight, that You would wrap Your arms of love around us and be a friend at midnight, like You have done so many times to so many. Thank You, Lord, for the friendships in this place, and help strengthen them. Help strengthen the friendships at Firstborn, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight is our prayer. Hope you enjoyed service. Thank you for coming out to Firstborn Ministries. We are so glad that you are here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend, and all our griefs to bear.